We're back on Kickness Worldwide, second hour. It's called The Word on the Street, where we kind of feature what's going on in beautiful Rochester, New York. We've had Don Ehlhardt on, celebrating his 50th year on TV. We had Mario Danielli on a few weeks ago, the man that brought us so many great restaurants to Rochester and is trying to bring Whole Foods to Rochester. Well, this week we have a man that I listen to him every single morning on my favorite radio show called The Brother Wee Show. And then when I'm with my grandkids in the car, we listen to Kiss 106.7.
Yep.
Listen to all the hip, cool music. And he's everywhere. His voice is everywhere. His name is Paul Guglielmo.
Yeah.
And
hey, man.
Polly, baby, thank you for coming in.
This is an honor. Sitting across from you on a radio microphone is a dream come true. Although I do feel bad because, like, Mario Danielli, Don Ehlhardt, and this week's kind of like...
That's not true, man, because this is motivating to young people.
Yes.
I mean, you were just a kid a few years back. Mm-hmm. How old are you right now?
33 now.
33. Yeah. You're just still a baby. You're not married yet. You're still a kid. Tell me, like, the past. Where did you grow up and how this whole obsession with radio and sauce came about?
Well, I grew up in a small town called Conneaut, Ohio, northeast Ohio, about 45 minutes outside of Cleveland. So I grew up in a real small, rural, little area, and we had a small, little local radio station, AM station, that just did local programming. There was a guy that came on Saturday mornings and did the bullpen, and that was the sports talk. And then for an hour, it was Swap Shop, where you could call in, and I've got an old dresser for sale for $20. And then people would just give their numbers and addresses right up. And my dad was such a big radio fan, and my grandpa was such a big radio fan, that they were frequent callers to the local AM talk show, right? And so my dad, though, after he took his one phone call every Saturday morning, he would recruit me to be the second call, so he could get a second call in through me. So he'd take a piece of paper and scribble down a bunch of notes about the Cleveland Indians and the Browns, and I would go into a closet where it was quiet so he could listen in the other room, and I would call the radio station, and I would say, my dad says Carlos Baerga should be the starting shortstop, you know. And that was how I fell in love with radio, or that's how I put radio on a pedestal as a little kid. I started realizing that radio was a huge deal. I loved my dad, I loved my grandpa, and they loved radio. So that was where I fell in love, right there.
The connection. So now you're a kid, high school, anything? Did you play any sports,
high school
business?
Basketball and high school football, but I was not very good at all at anything. I was always the guy who made the team but didn't get any playing time. So
I know the feeling. You know what my idea of a great game is? A comfortable bench.
Yeah. I mean, was that you too? Yeah. I heard you were a star.
I had the big lunch basket with my salami sandwich on the bench. Yeah.
Weezer's favorite story is I told it one time and I didn't realize it was funny, as I said that, at halftime all the moms would bring the kids Gatorade, and I was at the end of the bench. I hadn't sweat at all. I hadn't gotten any play. My mom still brought me Gatorade, and I was going, I'm hydrated. I'm fine. I'm overly hydrated. I'm doing fine.
So then you decide to go, obviously, to college. Tell me about your college.
I go to John Carroll University on the east side of Cleveland, and it is there that I finally get on the radio. There's a sign in my dorm room that says, in my dorm hallway, that says, want to be on the radio? Play your own music. Come to this class on this time at this day. And so I went, yeah, that sounds great. That seems like a lot of fun. My dad and grandpa will get a kick out of that. I show up at the class, and it was a 5-week class where you just learn basically how to be on the radio. That's it. And then you do like a tryout on the radio. I still have tape of it. I'm terrible. My name was DJ Paul. And there was just, it was your typical college radio where, like, the song would end. It would be like, doo, 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 and then just like 2-3 seconds of dead air. And then I would come on and go, hey, everyone, thanks for listening. I'm DJ Paul on WJC. And then here's the next song, The Beatles. And then 2 seconds of dead air. And then all of a sudden, the song. It was just terrible, terrible college radio. That was me. That was how I got started. And then I loved it. I started listening to the commercial radio stations in town, and I just started flat out copying what they were doing. Oh, they talk over the beginning of a song. Oh, let me start doing that. And they're imaging. I did. This is actually illegal. I can't.
All right, be careful.
I used to take tape. I would tape on a cassette tape the regular radio station, and we were WJCU. My girlfriend lived in Detroit at the time. They had WJLB. So I would tape their imaging. WJLB. and I would then take it into my radio station and change the end of LB to CU. WJ, and then I would put my own voice in, CU. And that was how I made imaging. And so I would air that, and nobody, it was college radio. So it turns out nobody was actually listening, so I could get away with anything I wanted. And I did that for a couple of years. I was a psychology major, though. Radio was not an actual reality to me. I never thought I could get paid to do radio. Turns out you can. I just, 11 years later, still don't get paid. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. And I applied to 100 radio stations, not 99, not 101, but 100. And I got two phone calls.
This is after graduation this or while you're still in school?
This is as my senior year in college. It was either going to be radio or it was going to be go get a master's degree in psychology. Honestly, the psychology thing was, it wasn't, radio was my love. Psychology was okay, but radio was love. I only got two phone calls out of 100 pamphlets, out of 100 resumes. And one was Erie, Pennsylvania, and one was my hometown, Ashtabula, Ohio, or, you know, next to my hometown. And I got that job. And
right out of college.
Right out of college.
But wait, didn't you, like, go somewhere while you were in college? Didn't you go to Italy or something?
Yeah, that was actually when I was a junior in high school, I went to Italy.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, I decided to be an exchange student. So I've always been the type of person who acts on my passions. You know, if I'm passionate about it, I do it. So when you see me doing something, you know, I'm serious about it. My grandpa was Italian. My dad, you know, he was Italian. He was American Italian, but he was Italian. And so Italy seemed to me like the motherland. That seemed like the Mecca. I had to see what the motherland had to offer. So there was an assembly when I was in 11th grade that was, if you want to be an exchange student, come to this assembly. And the auditorium was full of kids because everyone was trying to get out of class. And I was I was actually one of only two who took it seriously and pursued it. After that assembly, I went up and I talked to the guy in charge, and the guy in charge said, well, you have to do this and this. I did this and this, and then after I did that, there was the next hoop and then the next hoop, and I jumped through every hoop until eventually it was time to buy a plane ticket. My mom sat down and said, are you really serious about this? I said, Mom, I'm dead serious. I want to go live in Italy for a year, and I did it. And I lived on the island of Sardinia, which is off the coast of Rome, if you're familiar at all with the geography. And at first, Sardinia to me seemed like it wasn't good, because at first Sardinia seemed to me like it wasn't actually Italy because it's an island. And that was actually a dumb way of thinking, looking back. But I was 16, what did I know? So it turns out Sardinia, if you're familiar with Italy at all, is like their Hawaii. That's it. Sardinia is where Italians go on vacation,
right, yeah,
to the island of Sardinia. So it's palm trees, and it's 80 degrees on Christmas Day, and it's beautiful beaches. Costa Smeralda, I mean, it's where President Bush went on his vacation, to Costa Smeralda on the island of Sardinia. And so I lived a year in this Italian tropical paradise in my life. It was so lucky.
So live with a family, another family?
Yeah, at the time, the way they were working it was through Rotary, and they were working it where you would live 1 year, 3 months, three different families, so it was actually 9 months, and it was a family that was very well off, a higher economic family, and then like a middle, and then like a low, but not like homeless or anything, but you know, basically it's like this. The first family I lived with, I had my own floor, my own bedroom, my own bathroom, my own sitting room, all that. And then I went to the middle, and then by the end, when I was staying with the lower, it was where I was sharing a room with two of their sons. And that was fine.
Is that part of the program?
Yeah, part of the program was to see how
a
higher-end Italian family would live, all the way to a lower-end Italian family where they're just sort of scraping to get by, right, all the way up to the higher where they owned, you know, a chain of jewelry stores. They were doing fine,
right,
and it was good to live in both those situations.
Did you get the Italian horn or the
I did. I had a gold necklace with the island of Sardinia at the end.
Nice.
What I had. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I still have it.
So now I ask you about that, because that year or that in Italy, did the sauce thing click? Like eating pasta every night and fresh sauce. Like that's all. You know, you go to Italy, that's like your steak every night. You have to have the fresh dish of pasta.
This is going to be sacrilegious. You might even Cashman might even want to delay what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be so blasphemous what I'm about to say. When I went to Italy, I thought to myself, okay, so the food's going to be unreal, unlike anything I've ever had in my entire life. Here's the cool thing about going for a whole year. You're not a tourist anymore. I actually got to live there. And so at first, absolutely, everything blew my mind. It was amazing. And so people go on vacation to Italy, you're going to have 2 weeks where you're going to eat amazing food. But after a few months, you've had it all. And now you start to compare it to what you remember from back home. And there was three things I missed. Remember, I was 16. I missed McDonald's. I missed it like crazy. So I was 16. So, sure. You know, they didn't have McDonald's. They do in big cities, but not in small towns. The other thing I missed was Chinese food. And the third thing I missed was my grandpa's sauce. And I would tell my parents that, and they'd say, you gotta be kidding me. You're in Italy. They've got the best sauce. And I would say, they do. The sauce is very good. But, God, I miss my grandpa's sauce. Because my grandpa put peppers in his sauce. And you put onion and garlic. And Italian sauce tended to be a little bit more simple. It's like the sauce that I make, summer sauce that you like. It was really just fresh tomato and basil. And it's amazing. It's delicious. I'm not saying anything bad about it. But I missed that fuller Sunday all-day simmer sauce. And so I was in Italy missing American sauce, believe it or not.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, people talk rave about that, but... I love your summer sauce because it's really simple. It's like fresh tomatoes. Yep. And I bought a jar yesterday, the day before, at Lori's Natural Foods. They have it there. So
yeah.
We come back. I want to talk about, so now you're getting out of college. Mm-hmm. You're looking to get that first big gig. And I want to talk about that gig and how you ended up here in Rochester and how this whole sauce thing happened.
Sure, yeah.
Man, it's crazy. Yeah. It's an amazing story. It's everywhere.
Thank you.
I mean, every store I go in, I see Guglielmo sauce.
We're working hard, man.
You have all these different flavors now.
Yeah, we're working hard. Hustle.
We are here on Kick This Worldwide, second hour called Word on the Street. Soccer Santino, my bodyguard, in the studio watching things. Paulie Guglielmo from the famous Brother Wee Show and the Guglielmo Sauce Company is here. Rich Kicker Jones, push the buttons. We'll be right back, baby.
Yes, babe, you know.
I'm Bill Bergoli with the CBS Entertainment Report.
Well, there's still got to be some fluid in the power steering, right? Maybe I can pump it into the brake cylinder.
Original star Richard Dean Anderson is in talks to appear with new star Lucas Till in CBS's MacGyver reboot this fall. Meanwhile, Lights Out is now in theaters.
Keep the lights out.
Star Teresa Palmer was asked why we like horror movies.
I wonder if it's about escapism. Whether it's we go to the movies and we experience these really intense feelings and adrenaline's pumping through our body and then we breathe a sigh of relief when we leave and that doesn't seep into our real life.
Bill Bergoli, CBS News, New York.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1280 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
It's funny. Paulie goes, wow, yeah, we don't have any sponsors. Not like the Brother Wee Show. You guys have a 20-minute break.
I'm used to going to commercial for 8 minutes. This is awesome.
No, yeah, we have like one sponsor. It's me.
Hey, the people can come out tonight to watch UFC 201 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door as well as Salvatore's Saloon in Scottsville.
That's tonight. MMA? What is
MMA,
it?
UFC 201. No cover either place, so come on out tonight, 10 o'clock.
The Salvatore Saloon in the Village of Scottsville and the Garage Door at 149 Eastridge Road.
That's correct.
All right, man, it's cool.
We're going to make that commercial break just another 40 seconds long.
Yeah, we'll stretch it. So we're here on Word on the Street with Paul Guglielmo from the Guglielmo Sauce Company. Paulie G decides, okay, I'm graduating college, I'm a senior, I sent out 100 different resumes. Yep. Tell me what happens now.
I get a job at this radio station. They're just about to launch a country station in Ashtabula, Ohio, called More Country. Exactly. It was called The Bull. It was More Country Guaranteed, 98.3, The Bull. And then, there was a sound effect of a bull. And so I got this job on this station doing nights for $7 an hour. It was my mom lambasted me, saying, you have a college degree, and you just took a job doing for $7 an hour where they're only they told me no more than 2 hours a day. so just so you know, you're not going to be able to survive on that. And I said, well, I was hoping I could live here. And so I lived at home for 2 years after college pursuing this dream. But the secret was that when I was in college, I was playing hip-hop music on the radio. So I had to learn how to edit swear words out of songs. By doing that, I had to learn how to use a program, a little inside radio here, called Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition is used to this day at every radio station across the country to make all the commercials, all the ads, all the production you hear. It's here, right in this building we're sitting in. They use Adobe Audition every single day. So by spending hours learning how to edit out swear words, it turns out I was accidentally acquiring a marketable skill there. So when I finally applied to radio stations, I knew how to make commercials. I knew how to do production. And they needed that because everyone that was applying was just saying, hey, I'm here to do a radio show. But I was saying, hey, I'm here to do a radio show, and by the way, I can make commercials too. And they went, oh, we need that. Okay, hire that one. So I got very lucky with that. So I got a job doing production and doing nights. Turned out didn't pay at all. So I went into sales for 6 months. Shh, don't tell anyone upstairs. I don't want them knowing I did sales for 6 months. I was the worst salesman in the history. I think my whole time, 6 months in sales, I think I made like 2 sales. I was just terrible.
Grandpa and mom.
So I, yeah, exactly. It was great. Actually, I don't think I've ever told this on the radio. One sale I made, I begged the guy so bad to buy the advertising that I told him I would DJ at his bar every Saturday night for a month if he bought this little advertising package.
You just want to keep the job.
You just anything just to be able to come back and say, look, I made a sale. So I did. That was one of my 2 sales. So anyway, I get this job on this country station. Within like 3 months, the afternoon girl gets pregnant and decides she's going to leave radio, so they moved me up to afternoons. Then all of a sudden people were starting to hear me. I got a few compliments on it. I'll try and make a long story somewhat short here because there's a lot of I could
this
go.
This is interesting though, man.
Yeah, well, basically, but I'm doing country music and I'm not a big country fan. Still to this day, I'm not. So I'm not passionate about the music, but I'm passionate about radio, so I'm fine. Finally, this general manager of the station ends up getting booted in a hilarious, like, they came in and, like, confiscated things from his office. We had a flat screen TV in there, and they're like, does anyone know how he bought this? Like, apparently bought it with station money. Anyway, I shouldn't go too far into that. Anyway, the new general manager comes in and
asks, sure, no.
The new general manager comes in and says, does anyone here have any idea or know anything about pop music? And I rose my hand. Yeah, I love pop music. And so he said to me, can you put together a little plan? We're thinking about changing our, I think at the time it was like a hot AC station into a top 40 pop station. So I went home and I put together a plan. I listened to the competing radio stations and I came in with a report on their station and on what this station could be and how we could counter program them and what songs we should be playing, sample playlist. And the guy, I found out later, but after that meeting, the general manager was like, well, thank you very much, Paul, we'll be in touch. And I go back to doing country, and the operations manager, who's like the second person in charge, told me later in the day, he goes, you know, the first thing he said to me after that meeting was, looks like we just found our program director for 102 Zoo. So I got a job at 23 being a program director on this top 40 station. But again, it's Ashtabula, Ohio, and nobody's actually listening. So, you know, it wasn't.
But you're learning.
But I'm learning. That's huge. Yes, yeah. I'm learning.
You know, like over the years, I've had interns. When I had the roster Lancers, we have all these interns, and they want to be the GM of a sports team, like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And with Salvatore's, you hire someone, you know, as a driver, and they want to own a store tomorrow.
Yeah.
You have to kind of like learn the ropes of that industry. And what better way than what you did?
And not to skip ahead, but the only reason I work with Wheeze is because every position in that room, from host to co-host to phone screening to production to producer, I can do every one of those jobs. And most people can't. Most people can do one job or maybe 2 jobs. I can do every one of those jobs. So to this day, it was this learning process, what you're pointing out, that got me to that point, where I am right now.
What was it called, the zoo?
102 Zoo. They had the call letters WZOO. And I thought to myself, I thought, of all the stations in the country, this little podunk station in rural Ohio got those call letters? Like, those are great call letters, right? WZOO. Anyway, so I'm on 102 Zoo, and then all of a sudden, they announce Clear Channel owned, which is actually still the station we're on right now, is a Clear Channel owned station, although we've since become iHeartMedia. Clear Channel announces they're selling some radio stations, and sure enough, the station I'm on is being sold. And I get called into the general manager's office, and the general manager says to me, what do you think of Rochester, New York? And any good entrepreneur knows you say yes to everything. Can you move to Rochester, New York and do radio? And I said, yes, I can. secretly in my head, I'm going, can I? But yes, I can. So I left, I went home, and I Googled Rochester, New York, because, of course, New York City was going to be great, wasn't it, right? I thought to myself, right? All right. I thought Manhattan, Brooklyn, Rochester.
Yeah, we're
right?
Just a suburb, man. That's all we are, just a suburb.
It's one of the five boroughs.
Right up the street.
So I go home and I look at a map, and I look all through New York City, and I don't see Rochester in there. And I trace my finger up, and then I see New Rochelle, New York. And I think to myself, I go, that's what they meant, Rochelle. See, R-O-C-H-E. I just heard it wrong. So that's where it probably. Let me just check the rest of the map just to make sure. So, yeah, there's Albany, there's Syracuse, and then there's, oh, crap.
The armpit of New York, as they say.
It's over there by. So I moved here with every intention of being here for about a year and then moving on. Unfortunately, it turns out Rochester is an awesome city, and I fell in love with Rochester.
But back to the story, and the reason I asked you this story mm-hmm. about going to Italy. He went to Italy. Soccer Santino's in the studio, 11 years old. This is a great, great story. He goes to Italy for a year. That took some guts.
Yeah.
But if you could go to Italy for a year, you could sure say to your boss, yeah, I'll go to Rochester.
Yeah,
no big
yeah.
deal. I went to a different country.
Well, you're right.
When I was a kid, this is nothing. I'm 23 now.
Well, even before that, going to college, I remember being a senior and kids freaking out about going away to college. Meanwhile, I moved to a different country for a year. So for me, going to college was no big deal. But there were kids that, like, were homesick and stuff. And I'm sitting here going, like, I miss my parents every day. But this is fine. You have to spread your wings in life, you know?
So you come here. Now, you come to Rochester. You come to the station.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to meet Brother Weiss? Because he's kind of a unique character.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, how did that all happen? Or did you go right to KISS? Tell me that story.
I went right to KISS 106.7. At the time, Weiss was still working on another station. So I went right to KISS 106.7. I worked there for a while. I did afternoons, actually. And then one day, Clear Channel Radio announced they had hired the great Brother Weiss. Now, here's my second blasphemous thing of the day. Are you ready?
Yes.
Remember, I'm not from here. So I said, who's Brother Weiss? I didn't know who he was. I didn't know. He's a legend here. At the moment, I'm just being honest, I didn't know it. So I thought to myself, well, that's my luck. I'm sure he's a top 40 radio DJ, and I'm out of a job, right? Turns out Brother Weiss is not a top 40 radio DJ. He's a little different. The first day he was ever up here, they said, Weiss is going to be here today. I remember meeting him, and he was just this hip old dude with tattoos. And I met him, and I was like, oh, my God, that guy is awesome. But the key is he reminded me of my grandpa. My grandpa was a little old Italian man who was loud. And Weiss was this little old cool dude who was loud. They reminded me, even had similar sounding voices. That's what my grandpa sounded like. He kind of sounded like this, my grandpa, and that's what Weiss sounds like.
Right.
And so I felt right at home with him right away. So I went right to management and I said, I want to work for the Brother Weiss Show. And they looked at me and they said, Paul, no. Those jobs are all filled and you don't have the experience. Sorry. And I was bummed out. And so I asked, the way I eventually got in with Weiss was I asked, well, since I can't work on the show, if the co-host is ever on vacation, can I fill in for the co-host? And they said, no.
No.
You don't have the experience to do that. And I said, how about the producer? And they said, no, you don't know what you're doing. And I said, okay, what about phone screener? How about when the phone screener's off, can I fill in for the phone screener? And they said, you're never going to shut up about this, are you? I said, no. And they said, okay, when the phone screener goes on vacation, you can phone screen for the Brother Weiss Show. And that was it. I phone screened for the Brother Weiss Show. I came in with ideas whenever I got to phone screen, which was a couple weeks a year for that first year. Then I got lucky because the girl who was phone screening at the time had a little kid. The little kid seemed to get sick a lot. God bless the little kid. So she ended up taking like 2 weeks of sick time, 3 weeks of vacation. So within 6 months, I've done like a month of the show, and Weiss starts to know who I am. I come in with a couple ideas. He likes the ideas. I go out and get audio. I start producing bits for him. I had to have annoyed the producer at the time. Poor Nick Natucci probably wanted to kill me because I'm coming in with these producer ideas, but Weiss loved it. And so he's going, brah, this guy, yeah. The producer at the time, who I gave a shout out to, Tucci, Nick Tucci, decided to move on, went and worked somewhere where I'm sure now he's actually making money. And Weiss needed to hire a producer. And he said, went to management and said, what about that kid who comes in, does the phone screener? What's his name? The something, Pauly G.
Brooksy?
Yeah, Brooksy. Give me that guy. So they came to me and they said, hey, do you think you could produce the Weiss Show? And I went, yes. And looks like for the rest of my life, I'll be waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning because that was how it worked. I was the backup phone screener. And I just kept on giving Weeze ideas. He liked the ideas. And when it came time for him to need a producer, he gave it to me. I got lucky there. Yeah.
And Paulie, I got to tell you this. My wife has been a loyal Weeze listener and myself for years and years. And whenever Weeze was off, and no disrespect to anybody that I may know that was part of that show,
yeah,
we just wouldn't listen.
Right, yeah.
Now, when he's off... And you're on with the crew,
with the crew, yeah.
Deanna and
Marianne.
And Marianne. We listen. You carry the show. Thanks. You're like the head guy, and you're very, very talented. And I think Weeze is a great judge of talent, and I think he saw what a lot of people saw in you, that this kid could make my show great.
Thank
His
you.
Show is great now. It's greater than it's ever been. And I think because he has a great producer next to him.
Thanks. Yeah, that was the same thing. That started off slowly. So when I first got that job as producer, it was, you are there to be a producer, do not talk. And then, you know, Weeze always includes everybody. So he would look at me and he would say things. He'd go, Paulie, what do you think? So occasionally I would get to chime in for a second, chime in. And then slowly but surely, Weeze would start going to me more and going to me more. And then all of a sudden, it's where he's going to me just as often as the co-host. And then... Weeze is going on vacation, and they're doing Best Of. And then it's like, well, maybe we should get someone to intro the Best Of. Paulie, do you think you could just give a one-minute quick intro to the Best Ofs? And then it was, hey, what if you did 5 minutes? That way we get a little current content in there. We're serving the current audience. And then we go to Best Of. And then it started being where we started getting some feedback from listeners, and Weeze started getting some positive feedback. And then it was, hey, why don't you do 20-minute sets? So it was, why don't you do 10 minutes live and 10 minutes Best Of? And then only in the last 6 months or so, they've come and said, hey, you know what? When Weeze is on vacation, why don't you just go ahead and do the whole thing live? People seem to be liking that. So Weeze is actually on vacation this coming week, so we'll be doing the show live without Weeze this week. And we miss Weeze. He's Weeze. He's a legend.
He's a legend.
He's the greatest entertainer I know in the history of radio. Like, he's just remarkable what he can do.
Storyteller, like, unbelievable.
Oh, he's the best storyteller I know. Like, he is the most entertaining individual I know. I can't even believe. If I had a tenth of the charisma he has, that would be awesome. But the fact that they let us fill in is a huge deal. So we just try not to fumble the ball.
You're all doing a great, great job doing that. And I want to come back after this next break and talk about how this whole sauce thing happened.
Sure.
I mean, the whole Weeze thing is, you know, obviously there's been a lot of people working this station for years and years. But you're the one that kept on saying, I want to be part of that show. I want to be part of that show. I can help.
Yeah.
I'll be a phone screener. I'll do whatever. That's what it takes to kind of get to the next level in any business.
Yep.
And a lot of people just don't get that. They think it's going to get handed to them.
Yeah.
They're just going to notice that you're the guy in the corner with your head down all the time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or playing video games when you're supposed to be on a radio show getting paid.
Yeah.
Right, Soccer Santino?
Santino. No, you're right, man. You got to work your way up. Definitely.
Paulie G., interesting story. Part two of the story is the sauce empire that he created just a few years ago and how huge it is right now. Paul Guglielmo from the Guglielmo Sauce Company and the Brother Weeze Show. Up next, part two, the sauce empire here on Kick This, the Word on the Street.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez with your Daily Dish. Star Trek is back.
You really want to head back out there, huh?
Beyond gets so-so reviews. USA Today says it isn't quite a fantastic voyage and gives it just 2.5 stars. It will be the last to feature Chekhov. J.J. Abrams says he will not replace actor Anton Yelchin, who was killed in a freak car mishap in June. Ice Age is back.
We look so cool.
Collision Course tackles an asteroid apocalypse, but the New York Daily News calls it chunky, clunky, and bulky. From Britain.
How do we look?
Just fine, not fab, is what the news says about Absolutely Fabulous. While the hit BBC TV series has lived up to its title, the movie feels as padded as a Christian Lacroix dress from 1986. And
I'm ready to roll now.
Disney's first Latina princess, Elena of Avalar, arrives on the Disney Channel today. With your Daily Dish, I'm Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Sports talk on the radio is a lot like Tinder.
Smoking hot.
If you don't like us, one flick of the finger.
Ugly.
And we're gone.
Ugly.
Goodbye.
We're constantly seeking your approval.
I like people that like me.
The main difference is that you're not going to meet your radio at a bar and have sex with it.
You and I are going to disagree on this, I think.
At least I hope not. But I do believe it was Kevin Garnett who once said,
anything's possible!
Anything is possible.
This is Rochester's Fox Sports 1280.
Oh,
Richie playing some music for us here. Kick This Worldwide. It's the Word on the Street. Paul Guglielmo from the Guglielmo Sauce Empire and the Brother Weeze Show. You're going to be hosting all week next week?
Yep, we'll be hosting all week. And then actually, I'm filling in for Bill Moran, too. So on Radio 95.1, 6 to 2, I'll be annoying you all week. You are going to be so sick of me, it's going to be ridiculous.
You are one hardworking kid, man. Yeah. I love it.
It's fun, but I love the secret to it is just doing what you love. If you do what you love, it's not work. And I swear that sounds so corny, but it's 100% true.
So now who's with you this upcoming weekend?
Everybody. Marianne will be there. Deanna King will be there. John DeTullio will be there. So it's everybody. It's by committee. We fill in by committee.
I mean, I'm becoming a big fan of Deanna King. I mean, I heard her when she did the Lonsberry Show, a solo act. And, I mean, she's just has a whole different view of things.
She
does. I can relate to it at times. And then Marianne, you can tell they're just totally two different people.
Yeah, Marianne's the comedian. Deanna's the news person. And I'll tell you, you know, the Weeze has a reputation for being very liberal. So you bring Deanna in, and she offers that other side. And I think listeners like that. You know, they want to hear some of his liberal views get challenged from time to time. And, you know, I think people have enjoyed the addition,
And then DeTullio comes in, who sounds like Weeze, doing the sports, and then that's kind of cool. I love the program.
Thank you.
I told someone in the first hour here, I put about 12,000 miles on my car in a month and a half.
Wow.
I mean, I'm all over the place. So the radio is my friend. I'm usually alone, and I'm always alone usually, and the radio is my friend. I'm listening to the station all the time.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's nice to know we got a celebrity listening.
Right. So now, obviously, you kind of moved up the ranks in the radio business. You're part of the biggest show in Rochester radio right now, probably the number two guy in the biggest show in Rochester radio right now. How does this sauce thing happen? How does this is weird.
Yeah, so my entire life, I always, you know, I mentioned earlier, I love my grandpa. He was my first best friend. I mean, we had a very similar relationship that you have with your bodyguard over here. You know, it was just anywhere. Grandpa took me everywhere. And took me to the grocery store. I mean, I was always by his side. It was exactly what I see with you guys, which is why I love you guys so much. You and Santino over here. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful relationship. I was exactly where you are right now, Santino. It was me. I was with Grandpa all the time. So I loved him so much. And he was the sauce guy. You know, he was his, I guess I'll tell you the whole story since we're on the air. So his mom, during the Great Depression, the legend has it, I never met her, she was my great-grandmother, legend has it, she turned the entire yard into a garden, because it was the Great Depression, and growing your food was the only option, because money was hard to come by. So she then began canning sauce. That was what she was good at doing. And then she would trade with the neighbors. And that was her currency, was sauce. So she would get, maybe the lady down there grew great cucumbers. My grandma would trade sauce for cucumbers. And then over here, she would get her lettuce by trading sauce. She had a big barn in the backyard, and they would make sauce. And my grandpa was one of eight. He was the youngest of eight. So his older brothers and sisters helped. And for a while, they had a whole team there making sauce. Towards the end, though, and this is, it came out of the Great Depression, but great-grandma now had become known for her sauce. Towards the end, my grandpa was the only one left, and he never left her. Stayed with her till she passed, and then lived in that house afterwards, because he couldn't leave her alone, because she had to make all this sauce. It was never a real business. They were just canning it in mason jars and trading it around the neighborhood. And again, we're talking the Great Depression. What is that, 40s? I think 30s, 40s? So we're talking... you know, we're talking before regulations were as what they are now.
Right.
So they were able to sort of get away with not being a business, but still sort of running it like a little business.
So they would just trade whatever they grew. So.
All trade. Yeah. They never sold it in stores or anything. It was just all trade. And then my grandpa, you know, when she passed, he sort of took it over. But then it became, you know, the world turned around a little bit. You know, the money became, you know, the economy got better and, microwave dinners became a thing. Restaurants became a little bit more of a thing. Fast food became a thing. So the need to make sauce and trade sauce went away. And so my grandpa just would do sauce on Sundays. And the whole family would go over there. And again, when I was young, I went over Grandpa's house for sauce every Sunday. And it was my favorite part of the week. My absolute favorite time was spending time with Grandpa on Sundays. Because then everyone would leave.
That's his. He loves it. We have Sunday family over. My wife makes the sauce and the pasta. And he's like, is everyone coming over? Sunday. It's family Sunday.
Isn't it the best? Like, it's just the best, right? And can I ask you this, too? Does Grandpa let you get away with more than Mom and Dad let you get away with? Well, yeah, right? That's exactly how it was for me. With Grandpa was always the one who said yes to things Mom and Dad said no to. Is that what you're doing with this guy over here?
To a degree.
Anyway.
Ask him about his toy store visits.
Oh, it's better with Grandpa, right? To go to the toy store? Yeah, you know you're walking out with something. That was what it was like for me, too, really. Grandpa spoiled me, and I loved him very much for it. And so I already told the part of the story where I ended up moving away. Of course I missed Mom and Dad. They're my mom and dad, but I missed Grandpa so much. And so I came here. I decided I needed to learn how to make the sauce because I knew you get a little older, you start to realize the people around you won't be around forever. So I looked at Grandpa. I realized he wouldn't be around forever. And I said, that's something I got to carry on is this sauce thing. Never thinking of it as a business, only thinking of it as on Sundays, I want my family, my kids, my fiance, my wife one day, her brothers and sisters, I want a house full of people on Sundays. I want to be that guy. So I started making it every Sunday. But when I moved to Rochester, I was alone. No friends, no family. So I started making friends and I started inviting them over. And I would get a lot of compliments. And I was, quite frankly, just too dumb to realize that there was already a lot of sauce out there. So when I started my sauce business, I was too dumb to fail. I mean, if I knew what I knew today about how many sauces are out there and price point and being able to be competitive on it, you can buy sauce for like $1.29 in a jar. My sauce is $5.99. And so many people have told me that no one will buy my sauce because it's $5.99 now, that if I could go back 3 years and tell myself that, I would have probably never done it. I was so dumb it turned out to be a good thing. Turns out, if you actually take... Here's what it is. It turns out that the world's changing a little bit. People are reading nutrition fact labels. People are looking at what's in them. People are interested in what they're putting in their bodies now. You know, the way cigarettes were decades ago, then we would find out cigarettes were bad for us. It's almost like that's what has happened with food now. Food, we realized a couple decades ago, we thought that we needed a big piece of meat in the middle of our dish, and we thought that, you know, carbs were a great thing, and fast food was just making it easy to eat good old-fashioned American food every single day. And we didn't realize what we were doing to our bodies, and now America has a serious obesity problem. So it turns out that when I made my sauce, because I was just making my grandpa's recipe,
It was clean.
It was clean. It was clean, and I didn't know anybody. Like I said, I didn't make it clean because I was smart. I made it clean because I was dumb. It was because I was just doing what grandpa told me to do. But it turns out...
So he guided you how to make the sauce.
Yeah,
and so you're making it with your friends. Now, where does Ryan come into all this?
Yeah, I met Ryan about 6 years ago. So Ryan was... When I met Ryan, it was still just come over on Sundays, invite your family, invite friends.
So you hadn't started jarring and all that?
I hadn't started jarring. I mean, I jarred it, but not for commercial. You know, I just jarred it on my own. I would can tomatoes every Labor Day. So it's coming up on tomato season. I'm getting very excited because I still do that. Still can my own tomatoes. When I met her, it was she was a huge part of the motivating factor, and she is essential. She's my secret weapon. In fact, right now, she's at Spencer Port Canal Days working our tent, and I'm here because she's my angel. She's my guardian angel. I don't even think she's a real person. I think Grandpa sent her to me, really, because she's been essential. Right at the beginning, she gave me the motivation. She was there when I was talking about doing sauce, and it was really hard, and I had to jump through hoops to make it legal and get a label made, nutrition facts and barcodes. I didn't know what I was doing, and she was there to say, no, you got to do it. This is your dream.
How'd you meet?
We met here. She was an intern.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
She might still think she's interning. Please don't blow my cover.
So you guys are getting married soon, though?
We're getting married September 30th, yes.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, she was an intern. This was 6 years ago. I was younger. She was younger. I'm a little bit of a creepy guy, I guess, Sam, is what we can... This will come out of this interview. It turns out that Paul guy's a real creep.
No, but
no, you were a catch. That's what it was.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
So she's basically giving you the inspiration to do this. Yep. Don't give up on the dream. Don't listen to all these people that are being negative. It's not that hard to do. Go ahead and do it. So now what happens? How do you get the first bottle of sauce jarred?
Yeah, well, let me clarify, because, it is true. There are negative Nancys in this world, but I do want to mention... It, by and large, 95% of the world has been very positive and encouraging. So it's just a few, you know, I don't want to harp on the negative.
Right.
They exist, but they're few and far between. Most people, like yourself, have been very positive, very encouraging. So the very first thing I had to do was figure out, well, how do you get legal clearance to sell sauce? I didn't know. I had no idea how you do that. So how do you do that? Turns out we live in Rochester. We're very lucky. We're very near Geneva, New York. Geneva has a Cornell branch, Cornell University branch, where people get their master's degree in food science and agriculture. And part of them getting their master's degrees is that they can analyze products and give them the stamp, the go-ahead from the agriculture department, and say, yes, this is a safe product. So what I had to do was submit a recipe, submit my grandpa's recipe, and what they gave me back was safe procedure. So they wrote me back and said, if you follow this procedure and use these ingredients, then yes, you can commercially produce this sauce. So I have that. That's called a scheduled process with the Cornell University stamp on it that says good to go. And basically, they just teach you how to do it safely. So I have to boil my sauce to 195 degrees. I have to keep it there for 6 minutes. I have to bottle it at 195, keep it for another 6 minutes. And I also have to have a pH value of less than 4.2. That's boring, but it's basically the acidity of the sauce to make sure that the sauce will never go bad, never hurt anybody. That's step one, safety and stamp of approval. Step two now is you got to figure out how to market it.
Well, then the labels. Labeling a big issue,
yeah,
too?
The second thing is now I got to figure out what I'm going to call it and what are the legal, what do I have to do legally on a label? So it turns out things like nutrition facts, you don't actually legally have to do that, but nutrition facts are, nobody's ever going to buy it if they can't see what's on, what the nutrition facts are. Ingredient panel, you do have to have for a retail jar. So,
And the less things on that, the better the sauces.
Yeah. And in fact, just an hour or two ago at Spencer Port Canal Days, people pick up those jars, and if they see cornstarch, if they see high fructose corn syrup, if they see salt enzymes, monoglycerites, if they see things like that, they ain't touching it.
Especially for the kids and all these people that are battling cancer and stuff, they look for all that stuff.
They look for that stuff. And when people tell me, well, I can get sauce for $1.50, well, yeah, but it's going to have all that in that.
Right.
If you want real
action. It's like a phone book. The ingredients are like a phone book.
They really are. Yeah, absolutely. So I had to do, so the ingredient list is legal. A barcode is not required, but you have to have it if you ever want to be in real supermarkets. The front is you get some creative freedom there. You come up with a name. You come up with a logo.
So how'd that all come about, the logo and the name?
So the idea originally was mine, and it was to have me and my grandpa picking tomatoes. Could somebody do that? So I went to an artist, and he came up with something. It didn't look all that right. And so I found another guy by the name of Marshall Statt, who lives right here in Rochester, and he's a graphic designer at Dixon Schwabel, which was where my fiance works, which is how I got to meet him. And I ran some ideas by him, and he said, let me give it a shot. And he sent me a couple of sketches, and the one he sent me looks very much like what you see on the label today. It's Grandpa and Little Paul. It's me back when I was cute. I figure I put myself looking like this on the label, nobody'd ever buy it. So it's me and Grandpa sitting on a big tomato and, you know, waving, basically. And that was it. And I saw that, and I said, that's what I'm looking for. It looks like a children's book. It's very soft. It's very cute.
Great colors.
I went to the grocery store. I did a little research, and I figured out that nobody in a grocery store is selling on emotion, you know? There needs to be a face and there needs to be a connection. So, for example, this great pizza chain here in Rochester called Salvatore's, right? They got this guy, Soccer Sam, who makes a connection with the audience. Every time you see him on TV, you see a guy and you see his face. And through the years, you've learned his story. You've learned about what he's been through, the ups, the downs. You've learned it all. You've been in the paper a million times. You see those things, you start to want to support that guy. I moved to Rochester, and one of the first commercials I ever heard was just a quick one that went, Salvatore's.com. And I'll tell you, when I moved to Rochester, I had no idea. I thought, car dealership, restaurant, let me go, Salvatore's.com, pizza place. Yes, that makes sense. And the first pizza I ever ordered in Rochester was from Salvatore's, and it was because of that, Salvatore's.com. Cool. And I was hooked from that day on. Anyway, people need to make a connection.
Right.
So I went to a grocery store, and I noticed that nobody was making a connection.
Nobody.
In that sauce aisle, you've got two things. People who say they're the best and people who say they're the cheapest. Nobody is just saying, you know what? We love you. We love you, and we want you to share in our family recipe. This is our sauce. This is my heart, my passion, and I would love it if you'd try my sauce. So I did a few things. Put my grandpa's face on there, put my face on there. I put my personal cell phone number on there. This is not just any product you're buying. This is not the best. This is not the cheapest. This is just mine. Give it a try and let me know what you think. And then I started using what people would text me and people would send me pictures. I started using that as my marketing. So I just took real life endorsements, real Rochesterians, and I would put it out there on Facebook, and I would say, well, here's Jenny from Spencerport, she tried the sauce. Here's Tom from Fairport, he tried the sauce. Here's Tom from Brighton, he tried the sauce. And that worked. It sort of, you know, snowballed a little. everything, Sam, has not been smart. It's been dumb. It's been accidents.
I think you're a genius. And when we come back, I want to find out how you were able to get into the supermarkets, you're able to get into all these new stores. And you're everywhere with the great sauce.
I'm going to tell you all the secrets.
With now, you know, we use on Sunday. Your summer sauce is going to be our Sunday dinner. Like
nice.
I said, I just got some at Lorraine's. I'm giving Lorraine's a plug right now because I love that place, man.
Yeah.
Everything's natural, and that jingle's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I was singing at work yesterday, and my staff's like, what is wrong with you? But
that old commercial, the old Lorraine's commercial, it's hilarious. It's when you dress up like the tomato doing it, you know?
Yeah, I said Lorraine's. It's Lori's. Lori's natural.
There's a Lorraine's, too, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
All right, we'll be back here on Kick This Worldwide with Paul Guglielmo from the Guglielmo Sauce Company and the Brother Wee Show. How do you get this sauce idea that his grandpa and his great-great-grandmother, they were making sauce, was he able to get that into bottles and into Wegmans and some other great supermarkets around this area? I'm back here on Kick This Worldwide, Word on the Street.
It's summertime and the savings easy here at Fusillo Kia of Greece. Hey folks, Caroline here at Fusillo Kia. This summer at Fusillo Kia, savings and selection are expected to reach record levels. So make sure you come in and shop us 7 days a week right here at Fusillo Kia. Here's a great example of the savings this month, a 2016 Kia Sedona right now, zero down, $299 a month. MSRP is $29,640. That's no money out of pocket, zero down, $299 a month on the 2016 Kia Sedona. Of course, you can find similar savings on a huge selection of new Kias, plus a huge selection of pre-owned inventory this July right here at Fusillo Kia of Greece. 7 days a week, it's huge.
36-month, 30,000-mile lease, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents per mile over mile limit, 8% tax. Zero due at signing. First monthly payment of $299, $595 acquisition fee plus tax, tags, and DMV fees, including payment structure. $5,000 key lease cash applied. $400 disposition fee, no early termination fee. No security deposit required. Offer with approved credit through Kia Motor Finance. Paris is excluded to dealer for details. Pricing available from July 1st, 2016 through July 31st, 2016.
Auction Direct USA always has the market's best price on hundreds of pre-owned vehicles. And thanks to our thousands of loyal customers, Auction Direct USA now sells more NIADA certified pre-owned cars than any dealership in the nation. With Auction Direct's certified pre-owned program, you choose the car, we provide the protection. Get the confidence you need and the peace of mind you deserve with the strength of NIADA. Plus, the exclusive Auction Direct USA advantage comes.
It's Word on the Street. Paul Guglielmo. Polly, how were you able to get this sauce dream that Ryan, your inspiration, was pushing you behind?
It was at the beginning, it was guerrilla marketing. So the very first thing I did is I took my sauce and I just made a big list of stores. And I had every store from the smallest of stores to Wegmans on that list. And I said, I'm going to go to each one of these stores and I'm going to give them a jar of sauce and try and tell them my story. So the very first thing I did was I went to every locally owned mom and pop store I could, walked in, asked if I could meet the owner. The radio job helps because I work with Wee, so I work early. So I'm out at noon or 1 every day. So I'm there when the owner's still available, which is nice. If I was working a normal 9 to 5 and I was trying to do this at 6, 7 o'clock at night, I'd be missing the owners all the time. So I would walk in and I would give them a jar of sauce. And if I could get 30 seconds, I would tell them my story. And I had everything happen from the most positive of receptions of the, oh, my God, I love the story. Absolutely, we'll carry the sauce. All the way down to the, hey, kid, go check out the sauce aisle. We got plenty of sauce. We don't need any more sauce. So I had some where I had to be a little bit, I had to learn how to be a salesman. So at the beginning, it was just trying to get a few stores. And there were some who were very supportive. There was Juliet Redbird Market. There was Dom at Calabrasella's. And I'll come back to him because Calabrasella's turned out to be key.
Uncle Dom.
That turned out to be key for me. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back. That's going to circle back and be very important. But there was a lot of local stores that gave me an opportunity. Lori's, who you already mentioned, gave me an opportunity pretty early, right off the bat. Once I started to build more stores, and Amon's Farm Market was another big one. Rubino's was another big one. Just more stores and more stores. I started to be able to sell based on that. So I'll give you a good example. There's a store in Irondequoit. I won't name because maybe this won't make a movie, but there's a store in Irondequoit. I went in and they were not interested. Not interested. We don't want to sell your sauce. We've got a million sauces. Nobody's going to buy this sauce. Get out of here. Get lost, kid. So I said, okay, so I'm going to have to do more than just a story. This is how I learned how to be a salesman. So what I did is I went home and I took a map and I figured out where they were, and I did like a 2 mile radius. I figured out within a 2 mile radius there was Rubino's and there was Amon's and there was Wegmans, and at that point I guess I skipped how I got into Wegmans, but I'll come back to that. I went back to that store and I said, here's how many cases of sauce I've sold in the last 2 weeks within 2 miles of your store. If this is still less than all those other sauces, then I will never bother you again. But if these numbers impress you at all, give me a call. He looked at it and he goes, all right, bring me a couple cases. So I had to learn how to be it. So I, in some cases, it was just emotional selling, and in other cases, it was like facts. It was, you know, right, here's my sales sheet. And you know how it is. There's some, I mean, you know how it is. You're a businessman. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's by the numbers, and sometimes it's both, and that's how it works. Wegmans. Let me tell you that story, because obviously that was a big
deal. That's hard to get into Wegmans. So.
Yeah. So at the time, there was a guy who lives in Rochester still named Dan Mezzapredi. He was the merchant. It means he's the buyer for Wegmans for, I think they call it Italian goods, but he did like sauce and olive oil and pasta. That was what he was in charge for. He was in charge of the plan. He was in charge of what got sold. He happened to live in Gates, and he went into Calabresella's, and he got himself a steak bomber, great steak bomber at Calabresella. And on the counter there, Dom had my sauce. And Dan asked Dom how the sauce was. And Dom said, gave it a great review, said it's great, people are buying it like crazy, you got to try the stuff. So Dan Mezzapredi buys a jar of sauce. Okay? Now, at the same time, it happens to be October, and I am volunteering on weekends at a haunted house called Verhulst Haunted Hayrides. And the woman who owns Verhulst is Joanne Verhulst. She happens to be a buyer for the general merchandise section at Wegmans. So she knew me personally. Okay? She knew that I was a good kid. She knew that I was responsible, that I knew what I was doing. Because I was a new business, and how are they going to trust this kid to come up with all this sauce for all these Wegmans stores? Okay? Those two things combined, Dan Mezzapredi buying that jar of sauce, trying it and liking it, and Joanne, once I started it, saying, let me take a couple jars of sauce. She walked in there, and he already had a jar on his desk. And she said, oh, I can vouch for him. He's a good guy. Dan tried the sauce, had his staff try the sauce. He liked it. And then I needed a distributor. And at the time, there was a guy who, unfortunately, I'm no longer with this distributor, but he was a great guy, and he's very instrumental. But his name's Bert. He owns a place called Lanovera. Bert from Lanovera had been following me. He had been seeing me get into more stores. And he had been saying to me, geez, are you delivering all that yourself? And I said, yeah, I'm delivering all myself. He said, well, I do distribution. Let me talk to you about distribution. Again, this distribution sounds like a grown-up term. I don't know what that means. I'm just a guy making some sauce. I don't know what he's talking about. But I go and take the meeting because I figure I need to learn things, right? And he talks to me about distribution and how he can deliver. And if I ever get into a store called Wegmans one day, I'm going to need distribution, okay? So finally, Joanne tells Dan Mezzapredi, he's the decision-maker at Wegmans, tells him I'm a good guy. Dan tries the sauce and likes it. Gives it to his staff. They try the sauce and like it. Wegmans is very supportive of local. You'll notice any Wegmans you go into, they've always got local sauce in there. And this distributor is in the back of my head being willing to distribute my sauce. Finally, I get to talk to Dan Mezzapredi, and the one thing I need is distribution. And I go, got it. Yeah, I can do distribution, sure. It was just, again, it was just dumb luck. People think I'm smart. I'm dumb. I'm so dumb. I've just gotten so lucky. I've won the lottery. You know,
it's hard work and who you are and your personality and obviously your drive. I mean, it's all connected. You're special, dude. That's why I'm interviewing you right now. I think you're a real special kid.
Thank you.
And I think you and Ryan are going to be like the who's who of Rochester the next couple of years. I'm telling you.
Well, maybe she is. She I got to give her a shout out too. She just won the Prism Award, the PR citywide. She won for Rising Star. So basically they give out two awards in PR. They give a professional, which is code word for old guy, and they give a rising star, which is code word for young guy, right? And so she won that one.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. So she's on her way. She is. Yeah,
so
I'm hanging on by a thread myself.
So you're in Wegmans.
Yep.
And then it just explodes from there.
Yeah, Wegmans was a huge, huge deal for us. Wegmans was part of one of the absolute biggest steps we've ever taken. Once you get Wegmans, now you've got a little bit more clout. So when you're trying to sell, it works. So, for example, people who come up to me at Spencer Port Canal Days today, they look at my sauce and they see this guy making sauce. As soon as they find out it's sold in Wegmans, now all of a sudden it's, oh, Like, it changes a little, and they go, oh, it's okay, quality. So it's quality, it's legit.
Plus, they see the label, and it's clean. And
it's clean, yeah.
Paulie, this is an amazing motivational story
for anybody
that wants to be in business, and you're truly an inspiration. And I can tell you, the Salvatore Pizza family, we are going to use your sauce. We're going to 100% get behind this because we think it's the way to go.
You're the best, man.
And we're going to support your growth in any way we can. And I want to hear part two of this story someday. I want to hear what's next for Paulie G.
Well, I just found out, just so you know, there's this really great pizza chain in town called Salvatore's that the guy just told me he's going to use my sauce. So that's the newest chapter in the story. That's a great ending. Thank you.
If you order a chicken parm tonight, the sauce on it is the Paulie G. It's your special recipe for us.
Yeah, it's a recipe. It's basically a formulation that I came up with for Salvatore specifically. So, yeah, absolutely.
I love it. And if you're out and about any grocery store, grocery chain, pick up Paulie sauce, the Guglielmo sauce, and Spencerport, you'll be there today.
Yes, absolutely.
Brother Wee Show next week. You're hosting the whole week and the Tulio Moran.
6 to 2, yep.
And I'm going to see you next week. I'm going to come by and see you.
Please, stop by anytime you want. When you're doing your thing for Lonsbury Wednesday on News Radio WAM 1180, please stop down there. We'll put you on the air in a second.
I'm going to bring you some pasta.
Please do. Oh, my gosh, I want to try it. Please, yes.
All right, well, hey, for Rich Kicker Jones, Soccer Santino, his name is Paul Guglielmo. He is the sauce king in Rochester. Pick up a jar of his sauce when you can. Paulie, thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week here on Kick This Worldwide.
It can be tough to beat the summer heat.
Stream all you want. With the new Verizon plan, you get 30% more data and more control. No surprise overages when you choose safety mode and keep the data you don't use with carryover data. All on America's best network. Switch to Verizon today.
We are a nation of overachievers. We didn't just invent the TV. We jumbo-sized it and hung it in a football stadium. Now you can watch football while you're watching football. So why have we settled for mints that cover up bad breath instead of getting rid of it? We deserve better, like Breath Savers. It's a high-def Hail Mary catch of a mint with Nutrizen, which is scientifically proven to neutralize bad breath. Breath Savers, it's the overachieving mint.
Beating the heat, it's what summer's all about. And at AutoZone, we know that with your car's battery, it's not about staying cool, it's about staying tough. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which corrodes your battery's insides. That's why Duralast batteries are designed and tested to start in extreme temperatures. How extreme? How does 167 degrees sound? So beat the summer heat with a battery that'll last. Get yourself a Duralast battery, sold only at AutoZone. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
The Home Depot is pouring more into paint. More washability, scrubability, and affordability. Introducing Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. That's up to $40 less than other paints claiming to do the same things. And it stands up to anything you throw in it, staying beautiful for up to 2,500 scrubs. We counted. Introducing Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. Exclusively at The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
Some of you think it takes too long to drive to Buffalo Wild Wings, order lunch, eat, and get back to work in time. It's because of people like you that we've got the B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu. We guarantee you'll get an entree like wings or street tacos plus a side delivered to your table in just 15 minutes or it's free. You used to wish we could serve lunch faster. Now you might wish we were slower, but we won't be. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
For a limited time only at participating locations. Restrictions apply. See participating locations for details.
Fox Sports trending now.
The big news from Houston Texans camp. DeAndre Hopkins has said he is holding out, wants a new deal. Still playing under his rookie contract. Again, DeAndre Hopkins, number one wide receiver for the Houston Texans, has left training camps hoping to get a new contract. Get your fantasy draft boards updated. We are brought to you by TrueCar. Find the new car you want, see what others bid, and lock in guaranteed savings from True Car Certified Dealers. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Download the True Car app today. PGA Championships continue this morning. Jimmy Walker is your leader. He does not tee off, however, until 2:55 on the East Coast, just before noon on the Pacific Coast.